Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, if you would. I want to read verses 18 through 20, and we will get into the scripture from there. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I want to talk to you today just about some foundational truths concerning baptism. This is known as a Great Commission passage. I'm not going to exposit it to the greatest extent that it needs to. I want to kind of work from it a bit, use it as a platform to jump into what we're going to talk about. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." A couple Sundays from now, on the 17th, we're going to have our morning service at the band shell in Ludington Park in Escanaba. You will hear that morning individuals tell their story of where they were, how God met them, how they came to faith in Jesus Christ. Pastor Wes will then preach a sermon on the gospel. He'll invite others that would be there to trust in Him, in Christ, as their Savior. We'll then go to the beach. And hopefully you guys are going to be praying. It's going to be a warm day. We're going to go to the beach. And we're going to baptize these individuals publicly. They're going to identify in that way with the body of Christ that they are believers and they are following Him. I want you to invite your friends that may not, you know, a church setting may not be something they would readily respond to, but perhaps this would. It'll be a different setting. And I tell you, don't miss it. I want you there to encourage those who are being baptized, to affirm our love for them, our support for them, and to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And you're going to encourage other believers as well. Don't miss that day. However, if there's a discussion about baptism, would you be able to give a biblical perspective on it? Would you be able to do that? What if a good friend said to you they're thinking of having their baby baptized? What truths from the scripture would you share with them if you did not think that was the proper way to go? What if a family member told you they're going to be baptized in order to have their sins washed away, justified before God? How would you respond to that? Well, we recognize and practice two ordinances here. We just did one of those. That's the Lord's Supper. We also believe in what we see in scripture concerning baptism, where believers who have acknowledged their need for Christ, who've come to faith in Christ, are then baptized. So I really want to say when it comes to baptism, let's make sure that our knowledge and practice of it align with the Word. We always come back to the Word. What does the Word say? Not what does tradition say, not how I was taught, whatever. And, you know, I'm aware and sensitive to the fact that as we've gathered here today, you know, we've come from various backgrounds and practices, and maybe you've been taught something different than what I'm about to put out here. But let's agree again that our foundation is the Word of God, and that alone is the authority on every issue and on this issue. So, in other words, we'll look back to the Word, see what the early church practiced and what it proclaimed about the matter. And the Word is the authority. Not me, not the pastor, not a priest, not a leader, not any, no denomination or tradition, not the church. It's the Word that is the authority. And I want you to know there's a lot of confusion. You may know some of that. Maybe you're a little confused about this, but there's a lot of confusion in churches and denominations today about what is baptism, what's the deal with that, what's it look like, why is it practiced. But I want you to know something. It's not the Lord's fault that there's confusion about it, because I believe the Bible is crystal clear. Some of you have heard me preach on this a time or two or three or four. Or I do it once a year, right? You guys know that, right? How many of you ever heard me preach on this? One, two. Oh, some of you are awake. I know you didn't all miss over all those years, but So what am I doing here? What's this about this morning? I've talked about it a lot of times. Peter mentioned something I think is worthy for us to note. Therefore, really, the Spirit of God through Peter, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. And I believe many of you could give a great defense for what the Bible teaches on baptism. Although you know them, have been established in the truth which is present with you. But I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder. So, I am reminding you, many of you, again today, just what the Bible teaches on this. And remember, there are new ones here that have not perhaps heard this teaching or maybe a little confused. So I'm going to walk through it pretty quickly with you. There is an outline in your bulletin of what I'm going to present to you today. I want to just start out with a biblical perspective. Now, we've been there. We see it in Matthew. Jesus says there, go. He's saying, make disciples. That's evangelism. To make a disciple, he must come to faith in Christ. So you have evangelism. Then he must be taught. That's sanctification, growing in the Word. And then you have, and he says here, you make, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's commanded by Christ. And the practice of it in the early church, we've been in the book of Acts quite a bit. I'm not going to take you through all the scriptures, but if you'll turn there, I'll give you just a few of them. Acts, the second chapter. Well, let's go to the eighth chapter there. Let's go to Acts 8. I'll just remind you, in Acts 2, there were 3,000 souls that day who had came to faith in Jesus Christ as Peter had preached a powerful, Christ-centered sermon. There were 3,000 individuals, the Scripture says, that came to faith that day and were publicly baptized, identifying with Jesus Christ as their Savior. And by the way, that was a radical step for them in their setting, in their culture, growing up in the synagogue, and to make that step of saying publicly, hey, I want to be baptized. This is Acts 8. Sometimes we'll use this even at our baptism service. Acts 8, and this is Philip in the Ethiopian. He's ministering to him. In verses 36 to 38, he's come to faith in Christ. As he went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip said to him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Believe what? The gospel. Believe in Christ. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down in the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. So there are others. Chapter 9, you have Saul's baptism. Chapter 10, I'll go there in a moment. Chapter 18, chapter 19, verse 4. I'm not going to have you turn to all those. But if you're scribbling, and I know I shot through them, here's the scriptures you can look at. Acts 2:41. If you want to note these, Acts 8:36 to 38, we just went through that. Acts 9:17 through 18. Acts 10, verse 48, if you're still in Acts, and I hope you are, I want you to be in chapter 10. Acts 18, verse 8, and then Acts 19, verse 4. We'll look at that in Acts 19, 4 a little later here. So it's commanded by Christ, practiced by the early church, first century church, and I believe it's recorded with clarity for us. There's Acts 10. I really like this passage because it gives us so much. Turn there, Acts 10. I'd like to read verse 42 through 48. Just touch on that a minute. Give you some background here. Peter has gone into a Gentile home, a Jewish person. Well, let me back up a little bit. God had stretched Peter in his thinking and said to him, look, this is where I want you to go. And Peter had previously thought the Gentiles would be unclean, would have really never thought about going into a home. But God said, that's what I want you to do. Let him there. And he's well received by Cornelius and his family. And I'll pick it up then in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking, again, he shared Christ. Verse 40, he talked about him being raised from the dead. He talked about being witnesses and preaching. He says, we've been ordered to preach the gospel. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message. And that means they came to faith in that moment. They understood, and their faith then was in Jesus Christ. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. They were hearing him speaking with tongues, exalting God. The tongues there, by the way, and it's true, in every place tongues is mentioned in the book of Acts, is a known language. Peter answered, it would be an unknown language to the person speaking, but it is a language such as Spanish or Greek or something. Not Spanish then, but it's a known language that's poured out through this individual, and others could hear it. While they were hearing and speaking with tongues, exalting God, and Peter answered, "Surely no one can refuse," verse 47, "this water for there to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. So what you have is you have a clear gospel presentation. Peter's been preaching that Jesus is the one who came, who died, who rose again. And it is through Jesus Christ that we can have a relationship with God. We can be forgiven. We can be right, be justified before God. They heard the gospel message. They made a decision about Christ. They decided, you know, we've been thinking this, trusting in this, but we've now heard of how God is redeeming mankind through Jesus Christ, and we've made a decision to trust Him as our Savior, as my Savior. And you see the result. The Holy Spirit came upon them. The Spirit of God took up residence in them. They were children of God at that point. And by the way, just that thought, just that note, strongly refutes something I'll talk to you a little bit later about in some of the different ways people look at this. But it strongly refutes the belief that one must be baptized to be saved. These individuals at that moment in time are saved. The Holy Spirit is in them. They are His. And He ordered them then to be baptized. So they heard the gospel, they understood the gospel, made a decision about Christ, they're dwelled by the Holy Spirit, and they were baptized into water. This is a great passage for us to help us to understand just a biblical perspective of what this is. And what is it? What is it? It is very descriptive for us. The word baptized comes from the word baptizo. It means to dip, to submerge, to immerse into water. And it is seen in Scripture as putting someone into something. Someone putting, in this way, immersing someone in water. It's done publicly. These individuals were identifying with the message that they were indeed followers of Christ. And it's a public declaration. When we submit to baptism, it's really a public declaration that, listen, I want you guys to know, my brothers and sisters in Christ and anyone else who may be there, I want you to know that I am a believer. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's really what, so we're immersed, we're submerged into the water, and we identify with Jesus Christ, with His death, His burial, and resurrection. And this is the mode of baptism that we practice, and it makes perfect sense in the historical context, and that's why we follow this. And it, furthermore, it represents a spiritual reality. So, you know, it's very descriptive in what it is. It represents a spiritual reality. There is a spirit baptism where when we come to faith in Christ, we are placed within the body of Christ. This is water baptism. And if you'll turn to Romans 6, we have just a little picture there of a spiritual truth. But when we are publicly or physically baptized, it represents something that has gone on really beyond our sight, if you would. Something we cannot see, but we know. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? And I believe He's speaking here of the moment a person trusts Christ. We're placed within the body. The Spirit of God takes up residence in us. He says, therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So, it represents a spiritual reality. It pictures Christ's death when we go into the water, His burial, resurrection when we come up from that. It's what it pictures. It illustrates dying and being buried with Christ and rising again into new life. And it's a public identification, as I mentioned. It's something that we see is done publicly. And so, you know, that's really what it is. We're saying we're followers of Jesus Christ when we are baptized. By the way, we're in that sixth chapter, and I'm kind of pressed for time, so I don't want us to turn back to this. I originally was going to have us turn back to this, but note the last part of verse 4. So we too might walk in newness of life. for the believer in Christ, there's what we call a worthy walk. That is, God has laid out before us just how it is that we're to live, what it is we're to think, how it is that we're to interact, and so forth. It's the walk of a believer. And for all of us who have been baptized, let's just a reminder to us today that we have a stewardship to be light in this world. We are to be the those people that are growing, that are making a difference, that are walking as we ought to walk. And maybe today, as I mentioned this, you know, you're thinking, well, that's a good reminder for me. I've been baptized, and you know, I'm just kind of stuck, or maybe really walking as I ought not to walk. We're to walk in this newness of life that we have. We are Christ followers. We've been given new life. We're new creations. We're to walk in that, and we're to do well with that. Okay, so is it justification? In other words, is being baptized, does being baptized, does that create or make me right before God? Does that give some special grace? Is that how a person is right with God by being baptized? Or is that part of it? Or what is it here? Many churches and individuals believe that one cannot be saved unless they're baptized. Many believe that. There'd be a number who would believe that being baptized saves a person, or it's part of the process. That act of submerging someone into the water forgives sin and allows that individual to walk away forgiven. Some would see, there are a few that would hold that baptism allows then the Holy Spirit to then indwell us. The teaching that I'm speaking of here is baptismal regeneration, where one cannot be saved apart from being baptized. Very common teaching today. Couple things to say on that, and I can't go to the fullest extent of the teaching on this, but if an individual cannot be saved apart from baptism, I would ask this, I would make this statement that the cross really wasn't sufficient, was it? Wasn't quite enough. And by adding baptism to it, then salvation is completed. Then the work of Christ, and when Jesus said on a cross it is finished, he didn't quite have that right. But at the core of this teaching is this question, is what Jesus did on the cross through his resurrection in his person enough or not? And God's word, I believe, is clear on this point. Baptism does not save, does not forgive sins, does not regenerate or reconcile us to God. That's not what this is. Only faith in Jesus Christ can do that. It doesn't impart some special measure of grace to the one being baptized. I believe we do it out of obedience, out of conviction, out of identification. And there are other views. You know, I've given you this one that baptism saves you. Another very common view, and some of you have experienced this, is that infants ought to be baptized. Some of you were baptized as infants. And there are a number of reasons that we don't believe this. One is because infants cannot comprehend the gospel. Secondly, they can't respond in obedience to the word of God to be baptized. Thirdly, nowhere in the scripture, okay, we're going to say the word of God is our authority, right? That's where we're at. Nowhere in the scripture do you ever see infants being baptized. That came on in the second century, became a practice at that point for, I think, a couple of reasons that I do not believe were proper or right. But, you know, for those parents who would have that infant baptized, you know, their thoughts are that it imputes salvation to their infant son or daughter, or sort of introduces them into the family of God. And some of the defense for this would be that, well, it's like Old Testament circumcision. They would see it as identification and bringing forgiveness of sins to that infant. And they might become a Christian. But infant baptism, even though it's practiced in many churches today, you just don't find it in the Word. What do we find? Let's just go back to the simplicity of it. If we were to pick the Bible up today and ask, what do we find? This is what we find. We find believers, those who have understood the gospel, have come to faith in Christ. We find the church, we find the leadership, they're baptizing them. They are They can know the gospel, they can hear it, and they can respond. You're in the book of Romans. Turn back to the book of Acts, the 19th chapter. I'm close to being done, so stick with me. Some of you were baptized as infants. Maybe some of you were baptized as a child, and you know, you really didn't know what you were doing or have a say in it. Some of you may have consented to baptism, and you'd look back and you say, you know what, I was not a believer. I remember one of our children, we baptized that child twice. And the reason was, the first time they were baptized, they really believed that they understood the gospel and could have affirmed that, could have gone over the gospel and so forth. But it was a few years later when they really grabbed it and grasped it and could say, I know without a shadow of a doubt. And this one said, Dad, I want to be baptized again as a believer. So, you know, the scripture, I think this is so neat and unique. The scripture, you know, God knows the heart of man. He could see in the future. There was an event recorded for us in Acts 19 that I think is helpful to us. I'll just start in the first verse. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus, found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Let me just break this down for you. Paul saw something in these guys. He's like, I'm not sure they even know Christ. And so he asked the question, if the Holy Spirit of God had taken up residence in them. They said, we haven't even heard about this. And he said in verse 3, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. So these individuals had experienced baptism. That baptism they experienced was when John the Baptist was saying, Messiah is coming. Repent of your sins. Identify that you are looking for him. And so they were baptized into John's baptism. That wasn't a, you know, they weren't saved. They were baptized, they'd done it, but they weren't saved. Paul said, John baptized, here it is, verse 4, with a baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in him who is coming after him. So his baptism was, guys, get it right. Messiah's coming. I want you to identify with that message by being baptized. And Paul says, you know what? The one who's coming after him, that is in Jesus. And I believe at this point, Paul just explained the gospel to him. You know, the one that John was pointing to is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who lived a perfect life, who took your sin and my sin upon himself. He died, rose again. Put your faith in him. And I believe they did. And look at verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So I think that answers the question. If I've had some other baptism experience than believer's baptism, what should I do? Well, you need to be baptized. That's what you need to do. All right, let's roll along here. You guys are still with me, right? Did I tell you I got just a couple things, right? Okay, I got just a couple things. I'll go through them quick. Paul's emphasis was not as the greatest missionary in the world, the ambassador for Christ, it was not on baptizing people. His was on preaching the gospel. This is what he believed. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. It's by faith. He didn't say by baptism. He says we're declared right before God by faith apart from anything. Okay? Romans 4, 5, but to the one who does not work, baptism is a work of man. We are doing something here. The one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, not his baptism, his faith is credited as righteousness. When you come to faith in Christ, you have this righteousness placed on you by God. He sees you through the righteousness of his Son. He puts that righteousness on you. That's how a believing sinner can be right with God. Romans 5:1, therefore having been justified by what? By faith. Baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't justify you. It's very important, yes, but it is not the way to have a right relationship with God. We do so out of identification. We do so out of obedience. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So his ministry was one of proclaiming and preaching the gospel. His statement to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And then he has him baptized. It's not submit to baptism and you'll be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Pretty clear teaching. So why should a believer be baptized? We're to be baptized out of obedience. It's what the Scripture calls us to. I'll tell you, I wasn't baptized till later in life. I really didn't get a grasp on it till I was in my 20s and my need for it. And then I submitted. I'm really thankful I did. You need to do it out of obedience. You need to do it out of identification. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I've come to faith in Christ. Finally, you need to do it, I would say, out of submission as well. I was in that text in Romans 6. We are to walk in a worthy manner. We have a new life in Christ. So to be a follower of Christ is to be in submission to Him. I remind each of you that have been baptized. We submit to baptism, not only from public identification with Him, but we're saying, He's my Lord. He's my Master. I'm following Him. I'll humble myself to serving Him, obeying Him, serving others, putting forth grace. Finally, I would just say this. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, maybe you've come in. You've said, you know, I'm a Christian because I'm baptized. I'm a Christian because I'm baptized. I want you to know something. That's not the way to justification. That's not how you answer the question, how can a man be right with God? It's through faith in Christ, the one who died, who took your sin and my sin. And maybe, you know, maybe the light will flip on for you today. And we'd say, we'll praise the Lord. We want you to trust Him as your Savior. Let me just finish here. When it comes to baptism, I didn't have time for that one. I got to go to the next one. That's the heart of Paul. He's speaking about, you know, just about his heart toward evangelism. But when it comes to baptism, let's make sure our knowledge and practice of it align with the Word. You know, we're called to defend our faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says we need to be able to give a defense of the hope that we have for everyone that would ask. And this is part of it. Okay? A lot of different views. You guys are interacting with people all the time to have different views on this. And want you to be able to share what does the Word say. Really back it up further, though. What's it about? Acts 1:8, we shall be witnesses, right? God has given us opportunity. We want to see people come to faith that they might grow. And then our baptism services would have, if we really multiply this, right, we'll have more and more and more as we do the work of Christ. Friends, be praying about that. That is, I've seen God use this powerfully in the lives of all of us. Be praying about it. I know it's two Sundays from now. You're going to pray about, you know, the needs of this church and all that. By the way, I don't know if I mentioned Dan Deming is going to have surgery on Wednesday. Did I say that? He needs your prayer. Back surgery on Wednesday. It's been rescheduled. It was canceled. We have God's timing in it, we believe. But you're going to be praying those other needs as well. Let's finish with that. I know I've kept you a bit. Why don't you just stand and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Thank you for your patience. Lord, bless you guys. Loving Father, we are grateful to know you. Amazed that you would seek us out. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing us freedom in Christ, for allowing us access to you. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for the clarity of the Word. That you maintain that a man is justified through faith in Christ. Father, that may seem simple to us and we understand it, but it takes something for us to say, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything to stand right before you. And I'm just crying out, asking you to save me. That takes a humbling. It takes a work of the Spirit. There may be some here today that would need to take that route. Maybe they've yet to trust in Christ as Savior. Move in them that way. Father, others that need to, they just need to step out and say, you know what, I need to be baptized. Father, pour your blessing out on our people. We need it. We need your help. Father, use them powerfully in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just let me get to the back and you...